text 36. In an arena constructed according to scriptural instructions, the devotee should perform a fire sacrifice, utilizing the sacred belt, the sacrificial pit, and the altar mound. Igniting the sacrificial fire, the devotee should bring it to a blaze with wood piled up by his own hands. Explanation. In his Satkriya-Sardipika, Gopalata Goswami gives a detailed description of how to construct an arena for a fire sacrifice and how to perform the sacrifice. Here in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, verses 36 to 41, briefly describe how to perform a Nitya Homa, or a fire sacrifice performed daily as part of the conclusion to the deity worship. In large temples such as Tirupati, Sri Rangam, and Sri Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir, devotees perform a Homa daily for the pleasure of the Lord. Small temples could perform a simple Homa as an aspect of special worship done on days such as Ekadasi or festival days. So in the main, when we're dealing with the 16 items, then through 15, which we dealt up before, and that's all the various situations in which we worship the Lord directly. When we receive Him, we bathe Him, we dress Him, offer worship, offer bhoga. These are all part of these aspects, or also when you put him to bed, wake him up. These are all within these main 15. Now here we're starting with the 16. Krishna already gave a synopsis of that before when he says you worship his paraphernalia, you worship the devotees, you worship the acharyas, the spiritual master, with the remnants of his worship. So now he's getting into the detail, like after the synopsis, he got into the detail of the different situations in which the Lord is worshipped. So now also in the details of the 16th item, or pranam, offering our respects to the Lord. So then there's many ways in which that is done. So one of them is through fire, through the sacrificial yajna. So this is technically called nitya homa, which means nitya means daily, or always done. So this is part of the worship. So as we see Krishna go on to explain, it can either be done Vedic, Tantric, or a mix of both, which is Pancharatric. So we ourselves follow the Pancharatric system. So in there is also the stipulation for worshipping the deity with the yajna at this point of the worship. It means after the mainly worship of the Lord, and then in this part of aspect of pranam. Either one pujari can do that worship, then do the again, conclude everything, or you can have different pujaris doing the different aspects. So in India, what you find now still being practiced, then is, you know, one set of pujaris will be doing main worship, another will be doing the yajnas, like that. But it's all considered part of the morning puja of the deities. It's not something separate. So it's a pancharatric yajna. So that's what's being mentioned here. Text 37. After spreading kusa grass on the ground and sprinkling with water, one should perform the anuvadhana ritual according to the prescribed rules. Then one should arrange the items to be offered as oblations and should sanctify them with water from the sprinkling vessel. The worshipper should then meditate upon meat within the fire. Explanation. The worshipper is directed here to meditate upon the Lord within the fire. Kilajiva Goswami stipulates that the form of the Lord one meditates on in the fire should not be the original form of Krishna, but rather the Paramatma feature of the Lord. Since whenever a devotee thinks of Krishna, he thinks of the Lord's delicate features as he appears eternally in Vrindavan, features not to be subjected to the blazing fire. So this, when we're installing Krishna in the fire, we're not installing him in his form as Krishna. That is the Paramatma. Because the Paramatma enters all the elements, everything we see that's going on here, the Paramatma has entered. So for him, it's entering fire, there's no fire. He is. The reason the fire is working, has energy, is because the Lord's in it. And then in that feature, then if we're offering things to Krishna, the fire will carry. Those will be given to Krishna. or any of the Lord's devotees or any form of the Lord, those will all be given. So in that meditation, that should be done in this way. And then we see the same principles as in the deity worship. You set up paraphernalia, then they're sprinkled with the prokshana patra. So that aspect is there. So these principles of worship, they function no matter what kind of ritual you're doing. The essential elements of arranging, you know, clean things are arranged in a suitable way, then they're subtly purified with prokshana, and then after that you perform whatever has to be done on a particular item, then they are offered. So that is always done. Those principles are never not dealt with. And the sugrat, that when it's pudding, then the Rishi Shukta describes that's specifically for keeping away the yakshas and other personalities like that that may come and disturb the sacrifice. Then they don't like these. Like in the Pancharatrik worship, then before starting, then you purify the place with digbandana, either by sprinkling water or by throwing flowers. You know, you close the directions, you respect the directions, or you do it with the Lord's bow and arrow, or with Sushan Chakra. In some way you deal with the directions and close them so that all these different nasty personalities can't come and give any problems. So in the same way, yagya, then that's done by putting the kusa grass and by respecting the directions. So the same principle is there, that the ritual may be performed in a different way. This is the essential point.
We don't have enough oil. You put all oil in this moment.
There's no. But the big pot? Big, big, big pot. Where is that?
It's in the light.
Oh, I see. But this could be tweaked a little bit, because there's oil there. So then, you should get that out tomorrow. If that's important. So the principles of the worship are always the same. They're not different. And they don't differ from whether it's Vedic, Tantric, or Pancharatric. The principles are always the same. This is a very important thing to understand. Nobody changes principles. No Acharya, the Lord himself doesn't change them. Krishna himself, this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. This is Krishna speaking to his pure devotee in Bhagavatam. Right? That's recorded in Bhagavatam. So then Krishna himself sits according to the directions of the scriptures, according to the rules. He keeps saying this over and over and over again. Why? Because he's the one who has written the rules. He may jump through the sages and that, but he is the one. He is the writer, the compiler. All this he mentions in the Gita. And the Pancharatrik system itself is coming from him. Originally, when Brahma heard the Vedas, then he left the Vedas to Madhu and Kaitava. And he wanted to get the essence of the Vedas, the conclusion. In other words, after hearing from Krishna the Vedas, then after Krishna has explained it, he asked what's the conclusion. Right? Then he gave him those conclusions in the Chatur Shlokis. So then he understood that there's the Sambandha, there's the Abhidaya, and there's the Prayojana. So ultimately there's conclusion to everything. And the conclusion is actually what is important and of value. So knowing this, then when Madhu and Kaitava stole the Vedas and he couldn't remember the Vedas, he told Krishna, "You please give me the essence first. Then after that you can teach me the whole Veda again." So that essence was given in five nights to Lord Brahma, to Krishna himself. And that knowledge is called the Pancharatra, which is this form of worship of the deity. So it's the philosophy, practically applied philosophy, in a way that we can apply it in our life. The conditioned living entity can apply it in their life. In other words, it's the all the rituals, all the dealings, the anything one has to do. You know, the in other words, the devotional side of prescribed duties. Like that. That whole thing has been given. And Krishna supports this. He never says go against this. So as God, he never changes the principles, let alone the acharyas. Very important element to understand. The acharyas never change any principle. There's never been one in the past, you don't find now. It just is not done. Krishna doesn't change it. The acharyas don't change it. Great, you know, the Mahajans don't change it. The sages don't change it. Nobody changes it. Because Krishna's given it. It's perfect. Why you would change it? Details may be changed according to time, place, and circumstance. So if one understands the principles of the Shastra, one understands everything. All aspects of ritual one can understand if one knows the principles. We may have to study a bit to figure out which principles the particular ritual is performing. But once one understands that, then any form of ritual one can understand with some observation and study. So that's very important. So here we see Krishna is dealing with the essential principles, essential points. So we see here the place is protected. Right? The place is protected, you know, it's done in the sacred place. The fire is done and built up with his own hands. So that's part of the thing, is because the Lord is going to stay there. Just like you make the deity is made very carefully according to the scriptures, so that the Lord can enter it. So now the Lord's going to enter the fire. Now the Lord can't enter a fire that's not burning properly. So unless you stack up the wood very carefully and nicely, the wood fire does not burn. Anyone who knows how to make a fire knows this fact. If you don't stack it up properly, you don't have a proper fire. So now, you don't, just as you will not invite the Lord into a faulty deity or something that's just made up that has no meaning, man-made deity or you know just improperly made deity. In the same way, don't invite the Lord into a fire that's not properly made. So here, the principle of properly making the deity for him to be established is there. You know, the devotee, the sacred belt, the sacred altar, the sacred pit, everything is being done. Why is it sacred? Because it's being done according to the scriptures, according to Krishna's direction. Then it becomes sacred. We make it up ourselves, there's nothing sacred about it. So because Krishna, we're following Krishna's rules, it's sacred. In other words, the performer becomes sacred. The place, the sthan, is sacred. Right? Like you have a temple. The temple is made according to certain descriptions in the Shastras. You don't just have anything as a temple. It has to be a nice place in which the deity can be kept and be comfortable, be protected. There has to be a place for the devotees to be able to perform kirtan and discussions of philosophy. And all these elements must be there. So here, the sacred pit, the sacred mount, it all must be there. Otherwise, that's the temple for the fire. How the wood is built, that's where he's going to reside. Then the fire built, and he can be called into the fire. So all the same principles that you'll find in the temple worship are the same principles are there in the yajna. So then there's no difference. It's just the application is different. What it looks like externally is different. But the principles are the same. And one who understands this, whatever he's doing, he makes advancement. Because he understands this, connects it to Krishna. He does not become a smarta. So the rules for ensuring we don't become smartas, because we connect it to Krishna. But if one studies the rules but does not come to the conclusion that these are for Krishna, given by Krishna, for Krishna, like that, then one become a smarta. Or, in the same way of lack of, uninformed opinion. But we see why get so absorbed in this ritual, then we reject them and say we have no use for this. So both are improper, uninformed opinions. The smart ones are uninformed, and those who reject valuable prescribed duties. There, that's why Rupa Goswami says nimagraha must be avoided. It means either rejecting rules because you don't understand them, or following rules just to follow them and you don't know why or what the purpose is. So, in other words, becoming smarta or just becoming, you know, a non-human. You know? Like that. So we see the principles continue there. So it says, arranging the items to be offered. See, this is the Patrastapana. So we've established the place. The worshipper is pure. The place is pure. The fire is made properly. Then the Lord can come. Then you've protected the area with the kusa grass and the sprinkling of mantras. I mean, water and mantras. You've arranged the paraphernalia, you know, so it's going to be done very nicely. You've purified that. Then the worshipper comes and then meditates on the Lord in the fire. So then you start the the dhyanams and all that. So it means we can see the yug is in certain ways very simple. What's complicated the yug is the mantra. At least the rituals are actually fairly simple. Especially Vedic. Vedic ritual is very simple. But it's very lengthy because of the mantras that go along with it. The ritual itself is simple, but the mantra is very simple. It takes time, and all the different Vedic elements take a long time. Like you build the fire, and then you'll cook the sweet rice to be offered. So cook the sweet rice, it may take you an hour. You know, like that. And then after the sweet rice, then you put it in a certain place, and then you start off with the other rituals. It's a very simple thing. You're just cooking the sweet rice. So it takes time. Therefore, the yugas take so long. Not that they're very complex and complicated, this and that, quite simple. But they're just very long. And because of their long nature and not so much activity, and it's only sound, basically yoga is just sound. With some activity. Like that, you know, performed according to all these different aspects. So then it becomes very boring, except for people who are really, you know, hardcore Brahmins, you know. Especially just yogic Brahmins. They can tolerate it. Well, the Pancharatra has this included, but it's much more, it's just one aspect. So it's much more broad. It gives more, so many things. So there, you have the ritual sides of it, you have the very personal sides of it, dressing the deity, bathing the deity, doing all this. So it gives it very, it deals with all aspects of the Jari's personality. It engages everything in Krishna's service. And it gives opportunity for every different Pujari to elaborate what he, someone dresses more, someone gets more into the ritual, someone gets more into the prayers, someone gets more into the paraphernalia, you know, like that. So many things. Someone gets more into the offering, the bhoga, like I said, cook very elaborate bhoga offering. Like we see that Brahman in the Nectar Devotion. He was cooking the sweet rice for the Lord. So he was, you know, very much into that. His main thing was Manasa Puja. And within the Manasa Puja, then we see that this aspect he was taking great care about was the bhoga offering. You know? Such care and the meditation is so perfect that when he checked to see if the sweet rice was too hot, he burnt his finger. So that's the perfection. So all these different aspects are there. And then they're brought out. So the Pancharatra is very well made, because it's given by Krishna to Brahma. Krishna made it. It's the essence of the Vedas. You know? It's so important. Ramanuja had three things that he emphasized. One was the Vedanta Sutra, means the philosophy. Then you had the Pancharatra, the system of worship of the deity and the Brahminical lifestyle. And the songs of the Acharyas, the Divya Prabandhas. That is his program in a nutshell. These three. Like that. So you get the ritual side. I mean, you get the philosophy. Then you get the ritual side. Of the application of that philosophy in our life, and you get the devotional and our mood and our in the etiquettes and all that with the songs of the acharyas. Like that. So we see very similarly, same principle, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, you know, and the preaching. And, you know, I mean, how to say, deity worship and kirtan. So within the kirtan, there's the preaching, and then there's the you know, nam kirtan, and then there's the bhajan of the acharyas. So you see the same basic principles are there. So that's the point. The acharyas don't change the principles, because these are what work. This is what works. Yeah. And here is that even though we will say, well, we're worshippers of Krishna, still we don't put Krishna in the fire. We may offer all our oblations to Krishna, but we put the paramatma in the fire. In other words, we think of the Lord in the heart, and then from there we invite him into the fire. Like that. Then it's there, then we can, when we offer our patients, we may offer them to Krishna. Like that. So through the meeting of Paramatma, you know, then the oblations go to Krishna. Yes.
What you were saying earlier about Panchayatri system, you said that it's the devotional side of prescribed duties. Could you just clarify what that meant?
Meaning that everything is very directly connected to the Lord. I mean, you can unconnect it. Smart is do it. It means you can be offering an arti. You can just see the ritual side of it, you know. But it's much harder to do than, let's say, the prescribed duties in Varnashram. You understand? Like that. So it's the high, like we see. Krishna says is that you the first option. I mean, the first is option is surrender. The second option is sadhana bhakti. So in sadhana bhakti, you have the pancharatra and the deity worship, all these aspects are there. If you can't, if you're not satisfied fully in that, because pancharatra is a complete lifestyle in itself, complete in its etiquette, its activities, it can engage one fully like that. So between the preaching and the pancharatra, it's the Bhagavad Marg and the pancharatra's marg, you can be fully engaged, fully satisfied, and go back to Godhead. You know, just like if you fully surrender to Krishna, and in this way develop your love for Krishna, then you will also naturally be fully engaged and fully satisfied. And in this way, you go back to Godhead even more quickly. But if that first option is not a, you know, at this point is not a serious option for us, we're endeavoring for that, but we know we're going to get to that platform by sadhana. Then that's there. Then if that is not able to be, that does not fully absorb us because of our either heavy identification with our conditioned nature or the roots of passion, ignorance is stronger. Then Krishna says, work for me, which brings in Varnasha. Right? But still, it's being done, you know, basically Nishkam Karma. And then goes the next one, which comes more, the Sakama, or even just outside that. You can't even do that, at least be a nice guy. You know, open a hospital or, you know, feed some people. Do something pious instead of just being a fat bag. You know, like that. Because pious people surrender to Krishna. Right? Rat bags generally don't. Right? Pious people do. It's much easier for them. So if at least if you're pious, then maybe you'll be able to come in contact more with Krishna consciousness. At least give some money, give something, even if you can't do any service. You understand?
Yeah.
Like that.
And the Panchayati system is for the is a lifestyle for that second platform.
Yeah, but the point is just as full surrender to Krishna is the goal, the motive of those performing sadhana, still those, then when you bring more aspects, more deeply the aspects, more technically the aspects of Varnashram, still sadhana bhakti is still the basis of it. And the basis of that is full surrender to Krishna. So that always remains. So only if you can't do any of those three, then you start getting into the other side. Okay, let's do something. Do something and give something to Krishna, or at least be nice. You know? Don't give anybody trouble. And if you can't do that, then you can sit down and just be a jnani. In other words, being a nice guy is better than being a jnani. Because no one can actually be a jnani unless they're a devotee. So they actually don't get anywhere, really, jnanis. We're not talking about the jnanis, it's the one who surrendered to Krishna. We're just talking about those, the inferiors, the mental speculators. Krishna says, better than that is karma, and better than that, I mean, better than that, what's this? Yeah, and better than that is jnana. He's focusing yourself on the Lord. So he takes it right down, right to the pits, and then he takes it back up again. You know? So as far as getting back to Godhead, you know, the Mayavadi mental speculators, you know, and the Buddhists, all that, they're the worst. But if you, but from there, if you can get them to engage in the proper prescribed duties with that knowledge, or that or into meditation, that then it's, you know, they can do pretty well. But otherwise, just you know, cross section, you'll find that more people who are performing are just pious. Forming karma will be easily take up devotional service, while the the well situated jnanis won't. Therefore, it's something so special that Lord Chaitanya got Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur to surrender, and he got Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I mean, Prakashananda Saraswati was like in Varanasi, he was the biggest guy. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the biggest in India. Even Prakashananda would respect Sarvabhauma. Means the top Mayavad, impersonalist, you know, nonsense rascal was still in India, which means on the planet, was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was the top absolute authority. You know? And Lord Chaitanya converted him to the point where he didn't even want to hear the word bhakti. You know, just hearing it would, he would feel bad. Such was the so there's something very special, because these people don't surrender, because they're so proud that they think they know everything that's going on, and for them karma is a low thing, so they see bhakti as karma. That's why the eighth offense is to see chanting Hare Krishna as one of the ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas, because that's the way Mayavadis and that see it. That's something nice to do, you know, the women, the kids, guys that can't do the real substance, the jnana, they do bhakti, you know, okay, fine. Like that. That's their idea. They don't understand. This is so much higher. Actually, we're talking that, jnana's the lowest. Like that. We're getting back to Godhead. But if you can get someone to surrender like that, then they already know so much. So for them to perform Nishkam Karma Yoga and come to the platform of Dhyana is very quick. They already don't have any material attachments, really, other than, you know, being taught. But once they can give that one up, then they do quite well.
Just a small one.
Yeah, just a minor, how do you say, misunderstanding. Like that.
Okay.
Text 38-41. Intelligent devotee should meditate upon that form of the Lord whose color is like molten gold, whose four arms are resplendent with a conch shell, disc, clip, and lotus flower, and who is always peaceful and dressed in a garment colored like the filaments within a lotus flower. His helmet, bracelet, belt, and fine arm ornaments shine brilliantly. The symbol of Sri Vasa is on his chest, along with a glowing Kastuba gem and a garland of forest flowers. The devotee should then worship that Lord by taking pieces of firewood soaked in the sacrificial ghee and throwing them into the fire. to perform the ritual of aghara, presenting to the fire various elements of oblations drenched in ghee. He should then offer to 16 demigods, beginning with Yamaraj, the oblation called Svastikrit, reciting the basic mantras of each deity and the 16-line Purusha Shukta hymn. Pouring one oblation after each line of Purusha Shukta, he should utter the particular mantra naming each deity. So we see that this, the element of meditation on the Lord is the, you know, very prominent, because Krishna spent a few verses describing this. You know, so within the yajna, he's taking great care to that the meditation should be very much on the Lord, and that's what makes the everything very, how do you say, very nice. And then the pieces of wood soaked in the ghee, these are all different parts of the rituals. Those are all done, so all the preliminaries are done, which is called Gopalata Goswami, who describes it, this is called Kushantika, means where one's opening the fire, purifying everything, putting the kusa grass, invoking the deity, then with purifying the ghee, because it's, the ghee is purified. Sacrificial ghee, it's only sacrificial once it's purified. Then the pieces of wood soaked in ghee are thrown into the fire. So that's all. All this is all done in Kushandika. Then after Kushandika and all that, then we start where you go with the Purusha Shukta. So here he's saying the Purusha Shukta. So for us, then with the Purusha Shukta, we just offer all of them to Krishna. We don't offer them to the demigods. Like that. We put all the demigods in the pots. All the main, the Mahajans, they're all invited for in place of the 10 directions, the Mahajans are there. And in place of the nine planets, the Navagrahas, and the Navayogendras, the place of all the different 16 forms of Durga, then the 16 different aspects of the internal potency are invoked. Like this. So Gopalbhatta Goswami, according to the scriptures, has taken and performed for us the whole Samaveda ritual, Vedic ritual, of opening and closing the fire without approaching any demigods. You know, all very nice establishing the devotees of the Lord. Like that. So Purusha Shukta becomes the main central in the Nitya Homa, worship worship of the deity. Purusha Shukta becomes the main Homa. Like that. You may have so many others there as you want to expand, but Purusha Shukta is the essential element that is there. So here, Krishna Kshetra mentions explanation. The format for Homa has much in common with the format for offering worship to the deity. The priest gathers the items required for the procedure, upasana, purifies the area, stanchudi, then invokes the Lord into the fire, avahan. Having invoked the Lord, the worshipper then meditates, dhyana, on his form, and finally worships him at 16 ashrams in the form of the 16 parts of the Purusha Shukta. So why the 16 verses? It's because these are the 16 items. In other words, now you worship the deity again, but now through fire. So the 16 items are offered. So all those, when you're going through the Purusha Shukta, in offering in the fire, that is going through each of the items. But you don't have to connect it like that. You don't have to say the item. It's understood. That's what's going on. No, when you're doing the yagyas, you do it. Because that's the system when you're doing the worship of the deity.
But when you're doing the worship of the deity, you offer.
Yeah, then you use them. But when you're worshipping the deity in the fire, not. You just say the Purusha Shukta, the first one, and that's for asana, the next one's for swagata, and the next one's for like that. Because that's the way you go through in the ritual.
So
anyway.
That way you just chant the Purusha Shukta.
Yeah, you just chant the Purusha one, each verse of Purusha Shukta. Then you say swaha, and then the second one is swaha, like this.
The swaha is like the substitute for the offering.
Swaha meaning that now you're offering something, offer the ghee.
Yeah.
So you're offering ghee. So in the form of fire, you offer ghee. Just like in the form of the deity, then you offer, you bathe the deity, and this and that. You know, when you worship the Lord in sun, you worship with fire. When you worship the Lord in water, you offer water. You know, like that. So it's a different. That's coming up. Krishna will explain each particular kind of deity. That is his preferred ritual. Like that. Text 42. Having thus worshipped the Lord in the sacrificial fire, the devotee should offer his obeisances to the Lord's personal associates by bowing down and should then present offerings to them. He should then chant quietly the Mula Mantra of the deity of the Lord, remembering the absolute truth as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Explanation. This verse applies both to the conclusion of the yajna and to the conclusion of the morning worship of the deity. In concluding the yajna, the devotee should perform a Mula Mantra Homa. And in concluding the deity worship, he should chant the Mula Mantra and Gayatri Mantra of the deity being worshipped. The worship of the Lord's associates in this verse is accomplished at Vaishnava Homa in the yajna procedure, and by Avadana Puja, an offering of Mahabhashat to the Lord's associates in the worship of the deity. So this is a very clear explanation. So it's doing both. This is Krishna's expertise. In one verse, he can get all of them done. Because if you understand the principles, you can see how it applies to both. It just is very clear. Like that. So so here he's brought that out. Very, very nice. This explanation. So now he'll get into some details. Oh yeah, and then he'll give some other details on in the worship itself, because the main thing is going through the worship. Concluding worship with Mula Mantra and Gayatri Mantras. When the devotee worships his spiritual master, he should chant the Guru Mula Mantra and Guru Gayatri Mantra, second and third Guru given mantras. Concluding the worship when chanting Lord Chaitanya, worshipping Lord Chaitanya or both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, devotees should conclude the worship with the Gaura Mula Mantra and Gayatri, the fourth and fifth Guru given mantras. When worshipping Radha Krishna, he should conclude the worship by chanting the Gopal Mantra and the Kama Gayatri, the sixth and seventh Guru given mantras. For all other Vishnu Tattva deities, one should chant appropriate Mula Mantras and Kama Gayatri, or Gaura Gayatri for associates of Lord Chaitanya. For members of the Guru Parampara, other than one's spiritual mentor, one should similarly chant the Guru Mula Mantra and Guru Gayatri.
In other words, for all the devotees, the Guru Mula Mantra and Gayatri is done. For Lord Chaitanya, then is one's for Lord Chaitanya. And then for Krishna, then is the Gopal and Kama Gayatri. For any other form of the Lord, Vishnumurti, then one can chant the Gopal Mantra. That is quite, because in our Parvati, which is given, you know, especially from Narada Panchratra, that the Gopal Mantra is used for practically every ritual. And whenever there's a need for having a mantra that's broken up into syllables that's used in the ritual, it'll always be Gopal Mantra. So that's the Narada Panchratra emphasizes the Gopal Mantra, especially, also Kama, but it's especially the Gopal Mantra. Because we understand that Krishna has expanded to all these other forms. The Gopal Mantra is like the seed form of the Kama Gayatri. So that can take care of me. And then the beat syllable for all the Vishnumurtis will also use the Kam Bija. So it's always, we say it like that. Some like to get into the different Gayatris for the different deities. We can do. But otherwise, these same ones that we receive from the spiritual master, you can worship any form of the Lord. The one doesn't have to worry to go outside of Guru given mantras. One can do everything within those.
So that's done at this point. After worshiping, you know, whether if one's doing a yajna or not, then if one's doing a yajna, they're done at this time. If one's not, then after finishing the bhoga offering and all that, then the japa on the Mula mantras, the Gayatri mantras, or both is done. So minimum it's done 10 times, but one could chant more if the time is there. Generally, you'll find, you know, 10 works quite nicely. Text 43. Once again, the devotee should offer the deity water for washing his mouth and should give the remnants of the Lord's food to Vishvakshina. Then he should present the deity with fragrant perfume for the mouth and prepare the betel nut. Explanation. After any offering of food, the devotee should offer achman to the deity. According to Parasara Muni, achman includes pradya argument achman. Fragrant perfume refers to mukavasha, or fragrant spices such as anise and cardamom that freshen the mouth. So the principle after eating, then this is always done. Achman is there, so achman includes the hands, mouth, and feet, because achman can either be taken as the subtle, it can also be taken as the gross. If you're doing the gross, you're naturally going to wash your feet. You're not going to wash your hands and not wash your feet, because water sprinkles from the hands in a higher position than the feet, and water, by the amazing effect of gravity, goes down. Then, when you wash your hands, there's every chance you are also going to get dirty. And eating area where you eat gets contaminated, so by walking there, your feet become contaminated. So every cultured person then washes their hands and mouths and feet after eating. So in here, one can just as simply offer achman, and that's enough. Or can do the whole padyam. Here, padyam argyam achmaniyam. In the new situation. Or he can get into the details. If he wants to break achman down into its details, you can do, you know, how do you say, mukha prakshalanam, or hasta mukha prakshalanam. Or if you want to get more detailed than that, then you get gandasham, which means just rinsing the mouth. Hasta mukha prakshalanam will mean washing the hands, the mouth, you know, the face, so the whole thing. Gandasham means just rinsing the mouth. You know, where you're trying to clean it out after eating or after brushing your teeth like that. More general is, you know, a mukha prakshalanam. Or hasta mukha prakshalanam, hands and mouth disease. That, you know, if you want to wash your hand, mouth, and all that, generally you need your hands to do it. So in washing the mouth, the hands are clean. So you can either, you can understand this by mentioning hasta mukha prakshalanam. Or one can just use the very simple and just say achman. Like that. So depending on how elaborate one wants to be, then one can take any of these levels. Then he fragrant perfume for the mouth and prepared betel nut. So then the special spices and that are done. And in India, many times they would put special herbs and stuff, I mean, scented oils and that in these. Like, we just offer anise or cardamom or a little bit of, you know, rock candy or, like, how you say it, this coriander that's been dry roasted and split and husked, you know, rose petals, like this. But those who, the refined art of this is that there's very, very fine special oils, especially things like peppermint and other things like that, that are mixed in with these things. So there are, when it says perfumed here, there it is perfumed even. It means the thing itself has like perfume. Is it gives a nice smell and flavor to the mouth. But one can also add these kind of very fine oils, a very small amount, is prepared. So in India, you can still find these things. So it's getting harder and harder to find good quality of these perfume spices. But yes.
Also, pepper is good for digestion.
Oh. Yeah, because you'll find it. Like before, they would take the cardamom, cover it with silver, and then put these special oils on it. And then mix that cardamom with the anise seeds and the other things like that, and make nice mixes. And then the Lord can take that for, you know, freshening the mouth. And then after that, then take the betel nut. Betel nut means with the palm leaf and all the stuff that goes along with it, you know. So it's just like in the, how you say, the circles. I would say the more, yeah, because like you see in Bengal, South India, if someone says, come to my house for rice, that means a full meal. It doesn't mean you're going to come and just get some rice. You know, like we say, say anamrita pao. Honor this. Anna can mean rice. It can also mean food grains. It can mean, you know, whatever you take to nourish yourself, whatever is your food stuff, like that. So it means the whole thing. So in the same way, when he says betel nut, that means the nut, the leaf, the spices, you know, folded up nicely. It means that whole thing. It all goes together. It's not, it's just, you just take the nut. So, like that. Though, if the nut's been prepared itself with those fragrant oils and all that, then it can be just given a little on its own. But otherwise, it's better if it's in the leaf and all that, because the leaf has more medicinal effect, more flavor, like that. The nut is just part of the whole thing. The leaf itself is the, gives the main body of the flavor and all that. And it's the carrier on which you can put things, like that. Just like you have rice, and rice you can put sabji, you can put dal, you can put so many different things. But if you just put an empty plate and put all those things there, it's not bad. And just, you know, so because it's rice, then it becomes balanced. So the beta leaf, then all these things go on there very nice.
So, I sometimes just, yeah. Okay. Text 44. Singing along with others, chanting loudly and dancing, acting up my transcendental pastimes, and hearing and telling stories about me, the devotee should for some time absorb himself in such festivity. Explanation. After the Lord has been worshipped in private, he gives his darshan to the devotees in the public, who then have an opportunity to offer worship, especially for the activities described here. The darshan artik must first be accompanied by the recorded singing of the Govindam prayers of the Brahma Samhita, Srila Prabhupada stipulated. Devotees must sing with the recording and the conclusion of the recording immediately or after some further singing of kirtan. The assembled devotees should offer obeisances to the deities before proceeding with Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. After the Guru Puja, the devotees should hear from the Srila Bhagavatam, Matgata Shravayan Srinvan, hearing and telling stories about me. On special occasions, the devotee may enact drama performance for the deity's pleasure, since dramas are done tastefully and with the intention of serving the Lord.
This is what time the Aussies would do such, they'd be so fired up. One year they just got so fired up, they got so gross that GBC banned them at the festival, you know, like that. So here the whole that we see is that this whole how we, our morning program, this is stipulated part of the Pancharatra, how it works. It's part of the five main items of devotional service mentioned by Rupa Goswami. So we take darshan, we sing, we dance, and like that. Then we discuss the pastimes, act them out. So we see that hearing the philosophy about Krishna consciousness, discussing the pastimes, performing drama for the deities, these are very much part of the deity worship. We see when Prabhupada is present, these are very, very prominent. So now drama is not as prominent, but still Bhagavatam class is there, the darshan, the kirtan, like that. You know, these various aspects are there. So these are given by Krishna. So we see that Prabhupada has established a perfect program. We say, many will say, oh, Prabhupada changed everything. No, all he did change, what he changed was, is changed from all kinds of speculations to exactly what Krishna gave. So here he's saying, after that, you chant, you dance, so you hear some, then you can perform dramas there, especially, otherwise the evening is very nice for fun. Time for these things. So it's just these things should be done after the puja in the morning, whether they're done immediately or whether they're done throughout the day. You know, like we see when there's a festival, then they put up dioramas and deities and different things are done. So this, it's all part of the festivities of worshiping the deity. So These are all very nice aspects. Nice things, yes.
I had a question from the previous verse. In the verse there, he mentions offering the remnants of the deity to Vishvakshena.
Oh, yes. So here, Vishvakshena, because very basic, Krishna is giving a general description for Vaikuntha worship. So then, at the same time, it's because it's in the Bhagavatam, it's applicable. As we mentioned, the principles are always applicable. But if you give all the examples from Vaikuntha, then someone who worships Ram, someone who worships Krishna, someone who worships Krishna in Dwarka, someone in Vishnu, no one has a problem. So if you take one of the other specific ones, then they'll think, well, it only applies there. In other words, as soon as you describe it in relation to one of the Leela avatars, then others will think that's that specific thing. Like you see, you know, we're Ram Bhaktas and we're not Krishna Bhaktas, or Krishna Bhaktas, not Ram Bhaktas, and all that. But if you describe Vaikuntha, everybody will accept. So here he's given. So the essential, the principle here is when in the Vaikuntha worship, the Lord goes to another situation. The Lord sits down and is invited and sits on the asan. From the last situation of worship, all the garlands, all of this, that, everything was from that specific last situation. It's taken off the Lord because you have to offer it for the new situation. All that is given to Vishvakshena. Now, why Vishvakshena? Because Vishvakshena is our connection into that pastime. In Vaikuntha worship, you don't get in unless you go through Vishvakshena. So this is the principle that Prabhupada is talking about in asana, where he says the asana is there for the spiritual master, and devotees will think, well, what do you mean? You know, the asana is for Krishna. No. Krishna, God, you put your asana, you put Krishna on that asana, but what is your right to be there and offer worship? None. Zero. Krishna only accepts worship from his intimate devotees, and those spots are already taken, I'm sorry. We have no right. If we put an asana there, invite the Lord on an asana, and that's it. There's no asana for the spiritual master. We have no right there. And the Lord's not going to come and sit there, because who's going to worship him? He couldn't care less for us. He cares for us because we are the servants of his dear servant. We're the servant of the servant of the servant. So already the main rasas, their heads are there worshiping the service. So then we serve those, and then they have their servants. We're serving their servants, or the servants of their servants, or as Mr. Tanya said, 100 times removed their servants. So that's the principle. So here, for us, this means that everything is then offered to the spiritual master, the associates, the spiritual master. Like that. So that becomes the essential element. So that principle then translates for us. Is we're going to offer everything to the Lord's paraphernalia, if it's Krishna, and to his fruit, to his vanamala, to the kastuba, srivats, like this, we're going to offer to all these paraphernalias. Then we're going to offer to the spiritual master, and then all the associates of Vrindavan. So that's where we get in through the spiritual master.
So Vishvakshena, I think he also explains that in a further comment.
Maybe
later
they
on.
Didn't bring it up there.
Vishvakshena is but one of the Vaikuntha associates.
Means there, all the acharyas are all assisting Vishvakshena. Like that. Because Lakshmi, she sits with the Lord.
Does that mean his immediate spiritual master or Prabhupada? Because Prabhupada undoubtedly is a Vaikuntha associate.
Yeah, means for both. Means is
our guru and Prabhupada.
Yes, because the thing is here in this worship, we have the Diksha Guru. So we have to have that connection through there. So we'll worship our Diksha Guru, Prabhupada. Diksha, then we can go straight to Prabhupada. But it's recommended to understand these things that you hear from somebody who's present. Therefore, the spiritual master also then helps us understand what Prabhupada's saying. But Diksha, the connection goes through the parampara. So if you're 100th generation after Prabhupada, in the Diksha line, you're 100th generation after Prabhupada. That's just the way it is. But in Siksha, we're just as close as the first generation.
Right.
Like that. But you hear from your spiritual master and other present senior devotees how to understand Prabhupada's instructions. So by hearing from them, It's by our own study like this, then we understand this.
So as long as we remain, you know, just talking about it on this line that continues from Prabhupada, so 100 generations down the line, they should offer to the Diksha Guru and Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah, it'll always be. Prabhupada's always good. In other words, the five pictures that are on the altar now are all going to stay there. It's not that, you know, it's the next generation that Jagannath drops off, and then the second generation, then Bhakti Vinod drops off, and then the third generation.
But what if at some point another acharya?
It doesn't matter. The acharya, just like in the
end. His pictures there too.
No. Like that, because when the founder acharya is there, everybody else is just helping to establish the founder. Like Ramanuja, after Ramanuja, other paraphernalia of Vishnu came.
Hmm.
You know, I think Vadiraj, was it Vadiraj? He's not just another personality. He's straight from Vaikuntha. He's a Nitya Siddha from Vaikuntha. And he's not just a perfected devotee. He's one of the paraphernalias of the Lord, like the Alwars. But when he comes, all he does is come to boost up everyone's understanding of Ramanuja's philosophy, because Ramanuja's the founder.
As long as they're remaining within this,
yeah.
If they want to go and start their own movement, that's something.
That's up to them. That's, you know, everybody's free to do whatever they like. That's what the material world's for.
Yeah.
If you want to follow Parampara, then that's another thing. You want to do whatever you like. That, you know, 8,400,000 options are there. If you want to go back to Godhead, we have Parampara. And in Kali Yuga, we have founder acharyas.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Voice is
that on this side, or is that on that side?
Left and
right.
Huh? Left.
It's not one of ours. That practicing to be a duck. That's a frog? That's not a frog. That sounds like a duck. Oh, they don't sound like that. They go, like that. They don't do that. Oh, I see. So what they want to... What if a big anaconda walks by? I mean, it happened to Nanda Baba, so I mean, it happened to him. Yeah, so we have to.
So, in the situation where the position of the guru is in doubt, then it's directly
powerful. The point is, that is always there, but we always want to take help in understanding Prabhupada's instructions. So then whatever the Siksha Guru is, that becomes the problem. You would then use his picture.
So you could also offer the reference to the person you're accepting as prominent Siksha Guru if Diksha Guru is not a good standing.
Yeah. Or if the Diksha Guru recommends that you take Siksha from someone else, or there should be the more prominent person.
Uh-huh.
Like that. The point is for us, generally we find that in our line, with Bhakti Siddhanta, we just brought the Siksha and the Diksha as the same person. But otherwise, they don't necessarily.
So, in that situation, it's a little bit off the track.
Means if somebody's guru is not in good standing, falls down, they just keep a picture of some senior devotee who they feel inspired by to listen to. It's not necessarily, it has to be a great commitment. If not, then, you know, just drop.
But in the situation you just mentioned, where the guru's may say to the disciple, look, you know, I can't take you any further, you should seek shelter from this person.
Then you keep that person's picture.
Then would you also check their pranam mantra?
The problem is what's not a big deal, somehow that we as Westerners make into the biggest
mountains
deal.
Out of molehills.
And what is a big deal, we don't care about. You know? Like that. So this is the meaning, another meaning of Niyamagrapa, but the thing is, it's the Niyama should be ones, you know, they should get them out of balance.
People ask these types of questions.
Of course, but generally you find in India, somehow these questions don't come up so much. It's just one thing, it's just asked, or not even thinks about them. Somehow in the West, they don't dream up questions.
Is that anything?
I have no answers for it. Something, I don't know. Therefore, I generally defer to Krishna Kshetra, because he's more experienced in dealing in the West.
You know what he does? He defers to me.
Oh, shy.
He says we just take answers this one for him, would you?
Yeah. So I don't... Because in India, certain... It's just like this, you know, investigate this whole thing about do you offer obeisance in the temple or not when senior. In India, no one even thinks about it. You know? Some do, some don't. Generally, it's nothing you even think about. You
there's
know,
no problem with offering Vaishnava arms in front of the deity.
No, but I mean, but it never becomes a trip. You never see in Mayapur or in anywhere in India, somebody walks in and the whole temple just hits the jack. It doesn't happen. You know, but somehow in the West, it becomes part of the.
Well, the new one they've got now. Well, it's not so new, but it's recently new. Is that when the spiritual master pays obeisances, all his disciples pay obeisances, even if they happen to be leading the kirtan, so the kirtan stops.
The point is, one can do so many things, but one should also understand that the singing for the deity is part of the service.
One should also grow a brain.
Yeah, that's there. What's it called? Kampucha? Kampucha? Grow it in the water and stuff like that. So, yeah. So the thing is it's like we before. You can't offer flowers that you've offered obeisances while holding. In other words, you offer something when it's finished, then you offer obeisances. So if you're leading the kirtan, you finish the kirtan, then you offer those obeisances. Or at least you offer it when you're not singing. You know, I mean, at least have that good of each time.
Then also gets the principle again. The Bhagavad is higher than Panchavatrik because there's one time the Bhajari was offering the arati and some guests came into the temple. The Bhajari left the arati and went and preached to the guests, then went back to the arati and people said that was the proper thing to do.
Yeah, of course. No, but that's also part of Pancharatra. Pancharatra is also Atiti Seva, taking care of guests. So it's just the proper thing is if you're worshiping the deity and there's no one else to take care of, you take care of the guests because they're the Lord's guests. So that's not that you could say that's the aspect of Bhagavad that we're preaching that way, but just go see them, sit them down, and see if they're taken care of, find out what they want. That's Pancharatra also. That you're going to preach Bhagavatam to them and get them to chant Hare Krishna. Like that's the Bhagavad aspect. But the Pancharatra itself also expects that will be done. If there's others to do that, they have to do that and the Pujari does the arti. But if not, then you stop and you do this. So it's so the same thing is one could respect the devotees when they come, and the Lord will expect them. That's why the kirtan is offered as obeisances to whoever came into the room and the thunderbolt didn't come and turn them into a little pile of ashes, because the Lord appreciates the respect to his devotees. At the same time, it's also the senior devotees would appreciate if the kirtan went on very nicely for the Lord. So one has to balance these things. In other words, the wonderfulness is pleasing the spiritual master. You follow the rule, but if you don't please the spiritual master by it, it's not so perfect. You follow the rule and you please the spiritual master, that's good. So if by offering obeisances and stopping the kirtan, the spiritual master is not happy, so then that's not exactly the perfection of following the rules. So. What time is it now? The devotee should offer homage to the Lord with all kinds of hymns and prayers, both of the Puranas and from other ancient scriptures, and also from ordinary traditions, praying, O Lord, please be merciful to me. He should fall down flat like a rod to offer his obeisances. Placing his head at the feet of the deity, he should then stand with folded hands before the Lord and pray, O my Lord, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. Explanation. These two verses describe sukti, or offering prayers at atmasamarpana, or offering itself and one's activities in full surrender. Although offering prayers may be considered a type of devotional service separate from deity worship, as listed in the nine kinds of devotional service, vandana, since the object of prayers is usually the deity form of the Lord, offering prayers is integral to deity worship. For whatever prayer one may offer to the Lord, the essential element is the appeal for his mercy. Prasida Bhagavan. For the devotee recognizes that only by the Lord's mercy, through the mercy of the spiritual master, will his service be accepted. Thus, along with traditional prayers formally offered, there shall also be offerings of prayers from the heart. And it says, he gives a note, one can see Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 9, Submission, Offering Notable Prayers. So these two aspects are there, is offering prayers from the ancient scriptures, from the Puranas, you know, from the Acharyas have given. So that we're offering in a way that we know they have pleased the Lord. They know how to please the Lord. They speak. They've spoken these prayers. They say those. So we learn how to pray. What is the actual thing? Then we ourselves then pray from our own heart, our own realization and understanding of these prayers given by the Acharyas and the scriptures. So both aspects are there. And we offer, we pray to the Lord's mercy. Offer ourselves, our activities. We pray for the Lord's protection. You know, here protection means from material existence. Not that, you know, the sky won't fall on your head and, you know, stuff like that. But specific, I mean, you can go. Better we go to him than someone else, you know. But here specifically that we are fearful of this ocean of material existence. So we're praying for the Lord's protection that we may always remember him, always remain as his servant, like that. And we're offering obeisances, pranam. I want to offer obeisances to the Lord after all these are said. So that is done. So we'll end here.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.